Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Welcome to our fifth and final message of the seminar. It will be taken from Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, chapter 6, I mean, verse 1 to verse 4. Ephesians 6, verse 1 to verse 4, entitled, How to Have a Christian Home. How to Have a Christian Home. The main theme is high time to awake out of sleep. To awake out of sleep is basically to be awakened out of our spiritual stupor. We are asleep when we are carnal, when we live in sin, when we live for the things of the world, where we are no longer constrained and motivated by the love of our Savior, and our minds are filled with a lot of the knowledge of this world rather than the knowledge of God. And that is what it means to be spiritually asleep, to be in a spiritual stupor. And so the main theme is high time to awake out of sleep. And so we have been focusing on let us not sleep, taken from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 6 to verse 10, where the Apostle Paul urged, challenged, called, commanded the Christians in Thessalonica to wake up. That context was with reference to the second coming of Christ for the church, the rapture. Those who are asleep, those who are not bothered about getting out of their carnality, the word sleep there refers to people who are unbelievers. It's as if the Apostle Paul reminds us that all believers will want to be awakened. If they are asleep, and when the call from God to awaken is heard, they will do so. The Spirit of God in them will compel them to do so. And if you ignore it and if you do not care, then please check your salvation, because to be asleep while you are still alive and breathing is a serious condition which equates to no salvation at all. How to stay awake? After you have been awakened, you need to remain awake. And so the focus was taken from Ephesians 5, verse 14 to verse 21. How we need to remain awake. And so the Apostle Paul gave very practical steps, teaching us to walk circumspectly. What does it mean for a person to be awakened and to remain awake? He wants to make sure that his life is lived in a manner that is circumspect. That means according to Holy Scripture, very precisely according to Holy Scripture. That's what it means by walk circumspectly. He would also be very mindful on not wasting his time, making sure that his life is in accordance to the will of God. He will be filled with the Spirit of God to help him accomplish this. And then he will, in relation to fellow believers, he will speak and fellowship with them to help them grow, to help them praise the Lord, to help them become more like Christ. And that's what we see in speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart unto the Lord. And you do so with the joy of the Lord in your heart. That means you will not be envious or jealous of your brothers and sisters in Christ when you help them become better and better in their service, in their witness, and in their use of their spiritual gifts. And then you learn to give thanks always to God the Father, because you will face persecution, you'll face difficulty, and then the Apostle Paul comments on submitting yourselves. To be awakened spiritually is about relationships. Relationships with God, with Christians in general, but most important of all, relationship with the people in our own homes. And that was our focus in message number 3 and number 4. How to be a Christian wife as someone who has been spiritually awakened, followed by how to be a Christian husband. And then our fifth and final message is how to have a Christian home, taken from Ephesians 6, verse 1 to verse 4. Let us look to God in prayer before we continue. Let us pray. Our gracious, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise Thee for Thy mercies and Thy goodness in watching over us during this seminar, this past couple of days. Thank you, Father, for Thy protection, Thy mercies in preserving our footsteps and our faith in this period of the pandemic, where everything seems so uncertain and everything seems to change with every moment of every day, how men realize how they are afraid of death and how the world is filled with vanity. For when it comes to life and death takes precedent over the attractions of this world. We thank thee, Father, that through this pandemic, many of the places where immorality, sin, and evil once upon a time abounded, and they have been closed, they have been shut, and they have been minimized because of this pandemic. We thank thee, Father, for the many new opportunities you have given to us to witness a good confession for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, to our loved ones and friends who are without a Savior and who are very nervous, afraid of death and sickness. Help us, O Lord, who are your children, to continue to experience peace in our hearts. For we know that our safety is not in all that man can do or even the vaccination, for our safety is in and of the Lord himself. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins, and may thy Holy Spirit be our teacher once again this final message as we look to thee for thy instruction and for thy Holy Spirit to bless us. Forgive us, O Lord, of all our sins. In Jesus' name we give thanks and pray. Amen. As mentioned before, the importance of family in every society can never be overstated, because no matter how we emphasize it, it will always be required and be necessary, because families have always come under attack. And today, we have families that are completely gone over the cliff. Countries have allowed and legalized men and men, women and women, as a legitimate form of a family construct. It used to be a man and a woman, a husband and a wife, not just a man and a woman who are not married, but a husband and a wife and their children. That has always been the proper definition of a family that is based upon God's teaching, God's word. And when families are redefined as man and man plus children, woman and woman plus children, these are the symptoms and the consequence of the great fall of Christianity. And these are the evidence, the fruits of the fall. When families are destroyed, societies are destroyed, churches are destroyed. And that is why it is so important for us to understand that when we are spiritually awakened to the challenges and responsibilities given to us by our Heavenly Father, we must begin at home. And there is no better place to start than between parents and children. We know that a house is not a home. So how to have a Christian home, not a Christian house? The house is usually the physical building. But sometimes the line is blurred because of our obsession, because of our strong desire to improve our homes. And so we think that by the improvement of our homes, it means enlarging the square meters of our home. When once upon a time we had no swimming pool, let us now get a home with a swimming pool. And that means we have improved our home. Enlarging the square meters is not our focus at all. In fact, it is the opposite. To equate the enlargement of a home with the enlargement of the physical building, if that is the motive of a father, of a mother, then we are in serious trouble. The church is in serious trouble. Because that is the deception of the devil, the lie that has been spinning throughout the ages, that if you want to have a good home, it is always measured in terms of square meters. God has a different definition of a good home. It is better for a person to live in a small, tiny little poor box where peace and the love of Christ reigns, than to live in a palace where there are squabbles and quarrels. So please do not equate the enlargement of your property, how many you have, as a blessing from God, as being a good and successful parent in the eyes of God. It may be in the eyes of men when they look into your huge house and see how you provide so wonderfully well for your children. The world may clap hands, put you on a pedestal, and use you as an example for others to emulate and follow. And if this is what you long for and clamor for, then you are following the footsteps of the God of this world, the devil himself, your heavenly Father's enemy. Do you think a child of God ought to head in that direction? And would you say that a child of God who is awakened to his spiritual responsibility, should he be thinking in this direction, motivated in his heart for this purpose in life, to work so hard, so much so that the husband and the wife, both of them are working, where they neglect parental responsibility? And children will pay the price, and they will not understand what it means to honor father and mother, because they do not learn it from father and mother on how to honor them at all. And so when we think of how to have a Christian home, these four verses, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. May God bless us in the reading of his most holy and sacred word. The role of children first, followed by the role of parents to their children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is the righteous thing to do. That's what it means. This is for Christian children only, just as the preceding portion in chapter 5, Christian wife, submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. Christian husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave his life for the church. This is for Christian children. Non-Christian children will not be able to obey, because it is to obey your parents in the Lord. Again, it doesn't mean only Christian parents. And if you are a Christian and your parents are not Christian, all the more you must obey them in the Lord. And in the Lord is the parameters whereby, just like the wife is to submit to the husband in everything, it doesn't mean everything in the absolute sense, including disobeying the Bible, immoral, unethical, and criminal things. Likewise, for the children, obey your parents in the Lord, because this is the right thing to do. Now, you know that this is not simply mentioned like wife and husband. This is found in the Ten Commandments. There are 613 commandments in the entire Old Testament, according to the calculation of the Jews. Then God singled out 10. And not only did he single them out, he classified them under what is known as the absolute. The Ten Commandments are moral laws that are absolute. Absolute means there is no case-by-case situation whereby you can disobey any one of the Ten Commandments. The moment you can disobey it, it will no longer be called absolute. It will be called casuistic, case-by-case. In this particular case, this is the teaching. In another case, this is another teaching. For example, of a casuistic law, I steal from you. Stealing is wrong, period. Whatever your reason might be, wrong is wrong. That's absolute. Thou shalt not steal. But then what happens if I steal a person? The penalty will be different. So you will be evaluated. You have stolen a person, that's kidnapping. You have stolen an ox. So one is a human being, the other one is an ox. The Bible says, both are found. In the case of the one who has stolen the ox, you pay the penalty. The ox will have to be returned, and then you have to replace it with an additional ox. So he gets two oxen, his own plus one extra. You kidnap his son or his daughter, a human being. Now you are caught. You return the child. You can't return another child. Where are you going to find another child? You can't return your child. The penalty is death. Stealing is wrong. But then the penalty, the consequence, varies from case to case. The act of stealing, absolute, always wrong. And so likewise, the Ten Commandments are all absolute. And you find that this command to obey father and mother is commandment number 5. Instead of reading from Exodus chapter 20, I would like to read to you Deuteronomy chapter 5, where you have Moses' elaboration of the Ten Commandments, where he will add a certain commentary to what God had given to Moses up on Mount Sinai. And these commentaries are also by inspiration. The actual list that God gave to Moses is found in Exodus 20. The list that is found in Deuteronomy chapter 5 has additions. Verse 16, Deuteronomy 5, honor thy father and thy mother as the Lord thy God has commanded thee. That's added by Moses in his explanation to the Jews, to the Israelites, before his home calling, that thy days may be prolonged, and that it may go well with thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Also an additional phrase added. But the meaning is the same. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land of promise. That's the meaning. Now when you come to Ephesians chapter 6, there will be the quotation, but with changes, again by inspiration. And this time it is applied to Christian children. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and thy mother, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth instead of on the land of promise. Because now the reference is to the church as a whole. So changes were made to this commandment number 5 by inspiration, of course, therefore it is permitted. So what exactly does it mean? It means simply obey and honor. What's the difference? Obedience is more outward. Honor is inward. First, look at obedience. The role of a Christian child or children. Obedience. Why does God have to put this in the Ten Commandments and place it under absolute? There is no basis, therefore, for you to disobey your parents as long as it is in the Lord. What He asks you to do does not contradict the Word of God. You have to submit and obey, including unbelieving parents. You have to obey them. There is no command at all in all the 613 where God has to instruct parents to love their children, to think of their children. Parents do not need a commandment from God to love their children. Every normal parent believers and unbelievers alike. They will give their lives for their children. They're prepared to work hard and struggle and spend every ounce of their energy to bring food home to feed their children, to give them the best that the world could offer them according to what they do in their workplace. To buy you clothes, if you live in countries with winter, to buy you good winter garments to keep you warm as you walk to school or go to school. To make sure that you have a proper home that is heated in winter so that you will not freeze to death. Parents already have this inbuilt desire, love, and care and consideration for their children. God doesn't have to command. But that is not true for children. Children have to be commanded by God to honor and to obey. To obey first. Whatever your parents tell you to do, you have to obey. That is non-negotiable. Parents are special to every child. We are talking about parents that are of the blood, not the adopted, the blood kind. Sure, in some cases, the adopted parents can apply as well, especially when the parents are gone for whatever reason. And so you are brought up by adopted parents, and therefore you honor your adopted parents just as you honor your flesh and blood parents who gave birth to you. This relationship, that through them you exist, is the key. That's why it is in the Lord. Because the Lord was the one who chose you, your parents. And you are to obey them in whatever they ask you to do. Because when you obey them, you make them happy. You make them feel good. Because their responsibility over you is one of parent and child. They have this authority over your life. And therefore, when you obey them in the Lord as Christian parents, they are very, very delighted. This is a feeling that is very different when you obey your friend, when you obey your officer in the army, when you obey your boss in the company. The feeling that your boss has when you obey him to carry out his order, the feeling is completely different between you and your parent, or your parent, how they feel when you obey them. Because in the case of your boss, it's because of money. He pays your salary every month. In the case of the military, because of the hierarchy. And if you do not, you get punished. And so the fear of punishment is the reason why. But in the case of the parent-child relationship, that obedience is unique. You cannot find it anywhere else in the world. And when parents who gave everything since you are born from infancy, they have been there looking after you, providing for you, spend sleepless nights to make sure that you are okay, especially when you are sick, when you have fever, and the next day they still have to go down to office. They sacrifice. They gave of their sweat and their blood, their lives, just to make sure that you have life and a good start in life as an adult. All these things the parents will do for you. And the Lord says, therefore, you obey your parents in the Lord. It's as if you're obeying the Lord himself. This is simply the right thing to do, period. But what if my parents, they are unreasonable? You know of any parent that has never been unreasonable before? Every father, every mother will make mistakes. And very often for us as children, we normally will magnify and highlight their mistakes, and then we forget their sacrifice. And very often you can't even remember their sacrifices when you were just an infant. Your brain doesn't have that kind of ability. Many of us won't even remember, perhaps even right up to the age of 4 and 5. Only a select few would have some special recollection. And even if you do, it's not every minute or day of when you were 4 and 5. Maybe certain snippets of events, and that's about it. But all those many, many hours and days and weeks and months and years, when you were completely helpless as an infant, your parents protected, watched over you and kept you safe, fed you, cleaned you, washed you. And what do you do in return when you're old enough? Disobey them. They gave everything for you, and then to have you obey them. And because it is obedience in the Lord, it will have to be cheerfully, happily, willingly, lovingly. The feeling that the parent will have is unique and special. To help them realize how it's worth it all. The many, many sacrifices that they have to bestow upon you. And then to see how you lovingly obey them, appreciate them, love them, and thank them, and remember them. That feeling is priceless. That feeling perhaps can only be compared with the feeling that our Heavenly Father would have when we obey Him willingly, happily, and cheerfully. Because of the great sacrifice that He has given to us in Christ Jesus. And then to see us obedient and loving children of God. You know how happy our Heavenly Father is? So much so that He might even forget about the pain and the sorrow that He must have felt to sit in the throne in heaven and to watch His only begotten Son being abused and persecuted and crucified and die on the cross in order to save sinners such as us, so worthless, so helpless, and Jesus Christ came to suffer, live, and die for us before we were born and before we knew Him. Just like children, infants, toddlers, before you knew mom and dad already sacrificed so much for you. Just like before we knew about Christ, about God, God already sacrificed so much for us. Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. And that is why God had to put this as commandment number 5 before all the other commandments that pertain to our relationship with fellow human beings. Number 5, then followed by the other 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. 10 is covered. And then stealing, false witness, adultery. All these will follow. But the first on the list, pertaining to our fellow human being, God put as number 5, your parents. Before God gave the commandments in relation to friends, people that we meet. Don't steal from them. You don't commit adultery. You don't bear false witness. You don't kill them. And you don't covet what they have, their possessions, from people to possessions. But the top of the list concerning all fellow human relationships, parents come first. That's why the Lord says, obey them. This is the right thing to do. Plain and simple. But they don't deserve it. It's not whether they deserve it or not. But they abuse me. It doesn't matter. You honor and you obey them. That's the right thing to do. That's the right thing to do. But they beat me up for the wrong reason, because they come back drunk. But you still obey them. But they abused me, they took advantage of me, they hurt me. But you still obey them. Sometimes when you read in the papers of parents who would abuse their children, and then when their children grow up, and then they become Christians, and then they read such commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. Obey your parents in the Lord. When they read verses like this, I'm sure they would cringe. I'm sure in their heart of hearts, they will struggle. And we who never had those experiences cannot say to them, we understand how you feel. We don't. We don't understand how they feel. Because your parents, my parents, our parents are supposed to protect us from such injury. But instead of protecting us, they became the ones who injured us. And now you tell me to obey them and honor them? It is difficult. That's why the Lord says, in the Lord. In the Lord. That's what it means to be awakened of our spiritual stupor, to be awake. To be awakened to the sovereignty of God in your life. If only all of us have a very, very paradise-like kind of an upbringing and a home, isn't it? But that's not the reality. Every family, every mom and dad exists in a world of great sin and evil and wickedness. And that is why, in spite or despite all these terrible things that we have to endure as a child, God saved you. God shaped you and still molded your character despite all the horrible things that the world has done. If God were to save only people who have a very blessed and wonderful childhood, you know how many would actually be saved? Perhaps only a handful. That's why the Lord says, it doesn't matter what kind of painful childhood you might have, no matter how, who or what may have hurt you, and no matter how terrible the hurt and the pain might be, in Christ Jesus, you can forgive. Because of the hurt that you have committed against God, resulted in the blood of the Son of God and the Son of Man who died for you, so that you could be forgiven by God. And that's why the Lord says, in the Lord, in Christ, you must learn to forgive your mom and your dad who may have hurt you. But they have not apologized. It does not matter. You must forgive in your heart, so that you can still obey them. Because this is the right thing to do. For your own soul's sake, for Jesus' sake, you do it because it is right. Whose estimation? God's estimation, not your own, not your parents. God's estimation, your Heavenly Father, the Lord Jesus Christ's estimation. It is right. Would you do it for them? Would you do it for Christ's sake? That's what in the Lord means. And perhaps God can even use you with that show of love and forgiveness to your parents, that your parents may also realize the horrible sin that they have committed against God and against you, and come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior as well. Isn't that why the Lord Jesus Christ came to save sinners such as ourselves, also totally depraved and wretched? And God has left you behind. And God now wants to use you to save your own parents who may have abused you when you were young, who have ill-treated you when you were young. That's why this obedience is so important. Obedience to the parents will enable people to see a holy witness in your life. But they can't see the motive behind your obedience, whether you did so happily, cheerfully, willingly, or because I must, I have to, no choice. reluctantly. And so the Lord gave us verse 2, honor them. Honor is inward. To honor thy father and mother refers to some very, very high value or estimation that you must have for your mom and dad in your heart. Honor your father and your mother. That's it. Just like the wife, submit to your own husband. That's it. Because he's the husband. Nothing to do with education, nothing to do with treatment. Whether he's a nice husband or not a nice husband, just simply the husband you obey. Just because they are my mom and my dad, you mean I must honor them? That's correct. Simply because they are chosen for you by God and through them you exist. Without them, you don't exist. For that reason alone, you should honor them. God chose your parents. You think your parents can just simply want to have a child and therefore a child must come? You know how many parents have longed to be parents? How many married couple, I mean, who longed to be parents but they could not be? They tried. Some of them will try using all kinds of modern medicine to try to have children, and yet they still could not have. And therefore, the fact that you exist through your mom and dad, that alone, God says you honor them. That's why God separate them. Honor your father and your mother. In contrast to verse 1, just simply parents. Honor means you have a very high estimation of them. Regard them very highly. This is the problem with our world today. We don't regard our parents highly. And sometimes parents, in their foolishness, have lowered themselves to the same level as their children by addressing themselves as friend and allowing the children to call them by their first name. That is foolishness. Whereby they have abdicated their responsibility as parents to their children by saying that we are friends and giving the children the false impression and relegated their relationship to that of a stranger. You meet a stranger in your class when you went to school for the first time. And then you slowly become friends with that stranger who is now no longer a stranger. You think that is your relationship with your own child? And you want your child to see you like that? Without mom and dad, your son, your daughter would not exist. Without the friend of yours that you met in school, you continue to exist, you continue to be who you are. So do not ever think that your son, your daughter is your friend. They are not your friend. They are your responsibility. And children, do not look at your parents as if they are your friend, even if they say, well, call me by my first name. You don't, as a Christian son, a Christian daughter. Even though they do not want that kind of respect, you still respect them, honor them. Do not talk bad about their behavior behind their backs. And do not murmur and complain about the bad things and the weaknesses and the wrongdoings of your parents to your friends. And if they do, you correct them, you chastise them, you admonish them, you tell them that is not the way. Stop them. Teach them. If any of your classmates were to make fun and mock their own parents, you stop them. You tell them that that is a very ungrateful thing to do. Even if what they say were the truth. Please do not hide behind the truth to dishonor your parents. When Ham, after the flood, saw Noah, who was drunk, lying in bed naked, what did he do? What he should have done was to cover up the father's nakedness and kept his mouth shut and forget about what he had seen. But instead, he told it to his two older brothers, Japheth and Shem, or younger brothers. Right? Ham, Shem, and Japheth. So we assume Ham may be the oldest. All right? Shem and Japheth, they're younger brothers. And for that, he and his descendants were cursed by God. Do you know that? His son Canaan was cursed. And they will serve the brothers. You're the older brother. You should not serve the younger ones, Shem and Japheth. But that's exactly what will happen. And that's what happened. What did he do wrong? Did he say the truth? It was true. The father was humiliated. He was lying there naked because he was drunk. Did he add to this? Did he subtract any data? No, he just simply stated the fact. But by that statement of what was factual, he humiliated the father in the minds of the two sons. The two sons will now have a low estimation of father because of Ham, who opened his mouth and should not say what he said. And God punished him severely for that. We have no right at any time to dishonor our parents. That's why it is put in the Ten Commandments as absolute. No justification. Even when you tell the truth about mom and dad, even to your own siblings, it's wrong. Your siblings never had any bad thought about mom and dad until that bad thought was planted there by your gossip, by your revelation. But it's the truth. That's not the point. The point is when you say those things about your parents, you are dishonoring them, truth or otherwise. You don't dishonor them, period. But really, it's true, my mom can't cope. Doesn't matter, you don't say that to people outside. You don't say that to anyone. My mom doesn't keep her quiet time. Doesn't matter, you keep quiet. My father smokes, you keep quiet. My father drinks, you keep quiet. You do not dishonor your parents. This is the first commandment with promise. You know why that is required, right? Commandment. That means reminding us this is absolute. Non-negotiable, not case by case. And this is the first commandment that God promised something when you obey it. Not the other four. Only one living and true God cannot make any object and bow down to it. That's idolatry. Don't take the name of God in vain. Commandment number four, keep the Sabbath day holy. No promise of anything. But then commandment number five, promise that it may be well with thee and thou mayest live long. In the Old Testament, in the land of promise. This is not about an individual whereby if I honor my mom and dad, I will live up to the ripe old age of 90 and 100. And therefore, anyone who dies young, that's because he disobeyed mom and dad. It's not meant for such personal, individual, long life. God is not referring to that. You will live long in the land, that means when commandment number five is obeyed in Israel, they will have godly homes. And when every home in Israel is godly, you have a nation that is godly. And when the nation is godly, there is no reason why God would send any oppressors to punish Israel. There is no reason at all for God to put that wonderful, obedient, holy testimony of Israel and put Israel into exile. No reason. And so God says, you will live long on the in the land of promise because I love that kind of holy witness. But in the case of the New Testament church, God says, you will live long on the earth. Because the church is supposed to spread throughout the whole world. In every society where the church is, we impact and influence others. Societies founded on the Word of God, like the Ten Commandments, they will be law-abiding. It will be safe for people to travel and to live in. And you can see the impact of that amazing power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, especially in Europe. Europe is that piece of the earth that have been impacted by the 16th century Reformation, the greatest. And prior to that, before that as well, when God sent the Apostle Paul westward instead of eastward at the Macedonian call. That's why the New Testament epistles are named after European churches like Thessalonica, Philippi, Corinth, Rome. They have been impacted by the gospel since the beginning of the first century. Hundreds of years where the Word of God, even when it was during the period of the Dark Ages, where the Roman Catholics reigned and ruled according to the God of this world, it is still a form of a Christian impact, even though it was done based upon idolatry. So much so that when you visit any part of Europe today, the chances of you coming back home safe and sound is nearly 100%. Prior to that impact, you think they were all so well behaved? The Europeans, like any other people of the world, they were barbarians. Cannibalism. That's what idolatry will do to nations and countries. You read about their transgressions in the book of the Bible. You read about the sins and the transgressions of the Canaanites. I'm sure you read about how even the people of God who embraced the Canaanite idolatry, the Baalim, Ashtaroth, of the Canaanites. What did some of the kings do? What were some of their transgressions? Homosexuality, fornication, adultery abound. Wickedness, stealing, killing, murder abound. The love of money abounded. Human sacrifices as well. They offered their sons to the idols. But now you look at Europe. You look at every piece of land that the gospel touched. It changes. Singapore is what it is today because Singapore built on what our British colonists have given to us in terms of the law, founded on the Ten Commandments. That's why Singapore is what it is today, by the mercies of God. And so when every family is godly, the impact on the world will be tremendous. But now when you look at the world turning their backs on the laws of God by becoming more and more idolatrous, rejecting God, now their concrete jungle is literally a jungle where the strongest survive. But evil and all sorts of unimaginable sin abound. And that is why the Lord says, I will destroy this world by fire. It is reserved for destruction by fire. But when people learn to honor parents, and today you see how they dishonor parents, and parents have failed their children just as children have dishonored parents. We cannot stop with parents, with children, without mentioning the parents. The children are what they are because of parents. And when parents do their part as Christian fathers and mothers, God has assured us, promised us, when we train up our children since birth in the ways of the Lord, they will come to know Christ as Lord and as Savior. By a holy witness at home, where the word of God is faithfully preached, taught, and obeyed. But if parents do not do so and call themselves believers, they will sin. The children will be stumbled. And that is why the warning to fathers, provoke not your children to wrath. And the construction in this prohibition is stop an action in progress. God is telling fathers, which also include mothers, because he's the head and he represents parents, stop provoking, stop stirring your children to anger by your tantrum, by your carnality. When your children want to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, don't discourage them. Don't provoke them to anger by your failure to be godly parents. But instead, the Lord said, you are to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Bring them up to maturity by feeding them the word of God, tutoring them in the word of God. And when they do wrong, when they are young, admonish them, chastise or discipline them. That's what it means. In the Lord. You know why? Because every child is inbuilt with depravity. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life are found in every baby. That's a sinful nature. And therefore, they will lust. And if you do not teach them in practical ways and tone it down and give them an alternative, they're going to lust after the things of the world. If you do not show them how they also must desire the things of God, and they can't if you do not provide them with a godly home. The church is not supposed to replace your godly home. The church is supposed to supplement, to assist, to help you enhance your godly home. And that is why the church will teach your children the way of truth according to Scripture. Then when they go home, they find the same instruction, they find the same Bible taught, obeyed, just as they find it in the church. The children will be very grateful and thankful for this alternate way of life that you are now showing him that will be opposite of their sinful character and nature. That means they are going to experience the life of a Christian before they become Christian. That's the meaning of nourishing them and bringing them up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. That's what it means. But if you do not, and then you still encourage them to come to church, they get confused. Why is it that in church, I learn one thing and one brand or one version of Christianity, but when I go home, my mom and dad, they all call themselves, both of them call themselves Christians, but their form of Christianity is not the same. In fact, it may even be opposite to what we learn from church. And so your child will get confused. But you must understand the impact from the church is only a few hours. The impact they receive from the home that you have built for them, fathers, is many hours every day. The church may be a couple of hours on Sunday, that's it. Which will impact them the greatest? If your home is like the world, and then when they go to the world, they're going to find your home, Christian in name, is no different from the world. And then they spend 2 hours in the church. They find something that is completely different in taste. It doesn't taste like the things of the world because this is spiritual, this is Christ-centered, the world is not. And then they find that in the home also tastes like the world, but not like the church. And in time to come, when they become adult, should you be shocked and surprised that they become lovers of the world and not lovers of Christ? When the majority of their taste, since they were young, growing up, is of the world. And then now suddenly when they grow up, when they want to look for a life partner, you think they're going to find a spiritual life partner or a carnal life partner? Because they themselves are not spiritual at all, they are carnal. Because of your failure to nourish them with God's truth and did not bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And you expect them to find a spiritual life partner? Because the spiritual life partner, once they see them, they're going to avoid them because the spiritual life partner will look for spiritual life partner themselves. But your child, your son, your daughter, they are carnal. And every spiritual child will see your children and run away from them. And who will gravitate toward them? Fellow carnal children. And where are they going to find them? Not from church, from the world. That's why when your children are not interested, are not found in fellowship groups, they're not interested in attending church camp, you do not surround them with like-minded brothers and sisters in Christ for them to grow in, to grow with. We are all social beings. Your children need to have a good social life with good friends. And if you do not encourage them to have good Christian friends, and all they have are friends of the world, what do you think will be the outcome? Feelings will develop from and with the people of the world. And that's how they're going to end up choosing an unbeliever. And when they do that, now you have a choice. Can you attend such a wedding? You can't. But now it's about your son, your daughter. You see, that scenario should and could have been avoided if you have done your part when your children were only toddlers, babies in your arms. And you bring them up properly with the fear of God in your heart, in nourishing them and admonishing them in the Lord, instead of provoking them by your failure and by your carnality as parents. And now everyone pays the price, and your children pay the ultimate. Because if you are truly born again, parents, and when you close your eyes for the last time and breathe your last breath, say to your children goodbye forever. And do not say to them, I'll be seeing you. You can't, because you won't be seeing them. How to have a Christian home? Children, honor your parents in the Lord no matter what. And parents, if your children are still young, please repent if you have not done so and ask the Lord for help. Straighten your life. Awaken to your spiritual stupor first and foremost. Set your spiritual life right with God in repentance, by coming back to Him in diligent study of God's Word, as we have been mentioning. There is no other way. And then make sure that you are found in God's house week after week, serving the Lord, worshiping the Lord faithfully. And then step by step, little by little, regain back your holiness and your spirituality, so that your children will begin to see Christ in mom and dad. And then whatever wrong that they have learned and picked up because of your failures these past few years, may the Lord be merciful to eradicate them, erase them by the new holy testimony and witness that you are now presenting to your children. And even if your children are now teenagers, it is never, never too late. Go up to them, and if need to, apologize to them for your failures. Mom and dad were married as believers, but because of our carnality and our love for the world, we have not brought you up in the fear and nurture of the Lord as Christians. forgive us. But now mom and dad has repented, and we have made right our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And now we want to have a Christian home. And we want you, our children, to begin to see the new behavior of mom and dad. We'll try our best to bring Christ into our home as head now, that we are no longer Christians in name, but also Christians in practice. And we want all of you, three of you, the children, to also think about Christianity, think about Christ. We know and we admit that we have been bad testimonies, but please do not reject Christ because of our bad testimony. Jesus Christ is the only one who can save you from your sin. And if you reject him because of mom and dad, you're rejecting the only one who can save you from your sin and the penalty of sin, which is death and hell. And we do not want that to happen to you, our dear children. Say that to them and ask them to forgive. And then, if possible, pray for their salvation and let them know how much you care for their salvation in Christ. And that's how we can have a Christian home. Not a house, but a Christian home. But the Word of God is taught, read, and obeyed. A Christian mom and Christian dad fulfill their role according to Scriptures. And by their loving testimony for Christ, children will see Christ in mom and dad and pray that they too will also come to know Christ as Lord and Savior at the earliest age possible. Because of the holy witness of mom and dad, they're able to see a wonderful Savior. And if our children believe and accept everything that we tell them about the things of the world, why would they not also believe and accept the things of God, which are far, far better than the things of the world, especially the wonderful Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ? May you be awakened to your responsibility as Christian children and as Christian parents, and begin to have a Christian home. Let us pray. Our merciful, loving Heavenly Father, we thank and praise thee for thy patience and thy long-suffering in dealing with us as parents and also as children. For we acknowledge that you have every right, as you have demonstrated in the case of Ananias and Sapphira, when they sinned against thee, you struck them dead instantly. And we all should have died many times over because of our manifold transgressions against thee, especially when we dishonor our parents and when we as parents provoke our children unto wrath. We pray, O Lord, for every family represented here in this seminar, that the Word of God will have free reign over their hearts, that they will realize and understand that as Christian fathers and mothers, what a wonderful and godly home they could have in Christ. And help them, O Lord, to make right their relationship with thee and to begin building up a home where Christ Jesus will be the head, where the children will be able to experience life as a Christian even before they become Christians. And what a tremendous life they would have, an example they would see as well in mom and dad. Bless and protect, O Lord, every family represented in Sydney BP Church, that in these last days, this church will grow from strength to strength, not only in numbers, but more so in spirituality, that none represented their families in Sydney BP Church will remain in spiritual stupor, but that they will be awakened to their spiritual duty and responsibility as God Almighty has saved them and left them behind to accomplish and to fulfill in their lives. Preserve and protect every family, O Lord, against the wiles of the devil. And may Sydney BP Church remain faithful and true to our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, even unto the day when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, where every family will be godly and awakened to their spiritual responsibilities. And every sinner who comes and visit this church may find the faithful, true gospel according to scriptures proclaimed, so that they can also be saved in Christ Jesus. Thank thee, Lord, for watching over us throughout this seminar. And may the word of God fall on very good ground, and that your people may bear fruit in due time, 30-fold, 60-fold, even 100-fold. Hear us, O Lord, for Jesus' sake. In Jesus' most precious and holy name, we give thanks and pray. Amen.